station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Always on Twitter Twit.
Mr. Always on Twitter Twit.
First it was MySpace, then Facebook, and now you've discovered the ultimate in ridiculous self-aggrandizing ways to waste time. It's called Twitter.
Look what happens when you don't have friends.
Ooh, I see you're following Britney Spears.
That used to be called stalking, yeah.
So if you see a guy feverishly typing on a computer or smartphone, don't be fooled. He's not working. He's tweeting about how he's pretending to work. And feel free to smack the twit out of Mr. Always on Twitter Twit, a real American hero.
Mr. Always on Twitter Twit.
Ashton Kutcher thinks it's cool, therefore, obviously, it isn't.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday, July 8th. Kara, do you believe it's Thursday already?
You know, Thursday's a common day.
It's a common day?
It's the fact that it's halfway through the year.
Thursday is halfway through the year?
No, Sam. It's the fact that...
That July 8th is the middle of the year.
Right, isn't it?
Okay. You said Thursday. Thursday is the middle
of the year. Well, I mean, that's the thing that's kind of freaking me out more.
What's that?
That it's halfway through the year.
Yeah, I know.
What do you think?
Yeah. I don't think. I haven't thought about it, really.
Well, I mean, Thursday can come and go. I'm cool with Thursdays. It doesn't stress me out. It's the fact that there's a, you know, this hat, number one, isn't working out.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't be wearing hats under your headphones. It just doesn't work.
My hair's not working.
Yeah.
My hair is all messed up.
That's a big-ass hat, let me tell you.
Well, you guys at home, I mean, it's just one of those things that my hair's not working.
Your hair's not working this morning? Did you try?
No.
Oh, okay. So it's just not working by itself.
No, I slept on it. It was early. I worked out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I didn't take a shower. I worked out late last night, and then I had people over. I did make those stuffed jalapenos.
Oh, you did, huh?
They're okay. I didn't cook them long enough, and I used bacon that wasn't... It was more fat than bacon, so it didn't have enough bacon to go around.
Yeah.
And then I used a lighter cheese just to kind of, you know, soften some of the calories in this damn thing.
Yeah, right.
You know, take a little out. So I used a lighter cheese.
Yeah, like what, 5 calories off? Come on.
It's like a low-fat... version of cream cheese. And then it's also, I used a turkey sausage instead of a real sausage.
I see. Okay. Well, next time you'll know.
Yeah, next time just
do it. You gotta
do
the real
thing. You do. Some shit you just can't scrimp on. You've gotta go all in.
Yeah.
You gotta
go. Did you have
a
lot of people over? Or just
no, just about 5 girls. We had a really good time.
Mm-hmm.
Hung out, laughed. A lot of women in comedy. It's always fun.
Women in comedy.
Yeah, like really cool, creative people that are fun and funny and doing things and, you know, talking the shop.
Yeah.
Although that's kind of dumb to talk shop, I think. But it's just fun. People's endeavors and aspirations, I think, brings a lot of energy. Because there's people that everybody's going after something.
Yeah, I suppose.
So it's exciting.
Yeah. Everybody's going after something. I like that.
They are.
It's true.
They are. Everybody's like hustling, and some people are pissed, and some people are happy, and some people are excited, and some people are been doing a long time, or something. They're wore out, and some people are like green and excited, and you know, everybody's in a different stage with it, and it's fun.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just taking it all in. I did.
Now let me ask you this: how can you work out and not take a shower afterwards?
Because I'm a disgusting human being.
You are. You really are. You know.
I'm
you
not.
You should let people that date you know about this.
They do.
That would
no,
be
no, no, no. Here's the thing. I went
me,
on a really good run. Oh, because the overcast burned up yesterday. I went an awesome run. I got my run in. My butt cheeks feel sore today, which is a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went straight from running to the grocery store and then into cooking, and it was laid back. Everybody just came over.
Yeah.
And then I just threw my whatever.
Yeah, and sleep. Then you sleep in it, and then you get up in the morning, and again you don't take a shower.
Look,
oh,
Sam,
man.
Look, Sam.
You
look,
are
Sam.
Disgusting.
Look, Sam, you're kind of... people.
Somehow you hide it, though.
I'm, pretty I look
well,
cute.
You know?
I look cute, and I make sure I smell good. I make sure all my bits are clean.
Yeah, but, you know, you're putting perfume over sweat. I mean, come on, how great can that smell?
You know, it's not like I'm trying to date somebody at this current second in time.
Yeah,
it's called. Somebody texted me. I was like, oh, shit, I got to wake up. I got to get to radio.
Yeah, I'm just amazed that you admit to it on the radio.
Because I know wouldn't. I'm not, because I know I'm a gorgeous, beautiful, good-smelling girl. I just think it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I shower when it's important.
Well, anybody who thinks of going down on you should think again.
That's disgusting, Sam.
Why?
Because I would never present myself even in that arena having just ran, you nasty old man. I can't believe you said that.
Why? It's true, though.
No, it's not of me. I would never... That I'm being casual right now because I was working out. I worked out late.
What is it with a fucking mic? You're irritating me with
I
that.
Realize I am, but it's...
You're
I want
making
to look
noise
at,
all the time.
But listen, I'm trying to look at you, and every time I'm over here, the mic is between my eyes.
Okay, so fix it before
it's,
the show.
It's fixed now.
Okay, good.
Relax.
Good.
But
I do
to,
need to
back,
relax, huh?
You do.
I'm still not getting good enough sleep, though.
Well, take that out
leg.
On their bottle of water or something. Lay off the fact that I haven't showered in 10 days. I'm playing. And no, but going back to the sexual thing, I would absolutely never go into that.
Yeah, without taking a shower first.
Without being, who does that?
Mm-hmm.
Not if you ever want a second go
That's
at it.
That's what I'm saying. Who would want that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, come on. I have enough sense.
Yeah, I suppose you do.
Yeah, but I just think it's funny. I mean, you're running around town. You're working out, whatever. Life goes on. Come on, we're all people. We're all human.
I'm glad you don't stink when you come in here. I throw you out the window.
I never do. Have I ever stunk?
No, you don't stink.
No, because I'm not a nasty girl.
I see. Okay. You're one of those that never goes to the bathroom too, right? Women don't go to the bathroom.
I think we all know I have because I've had to take I've told you guys to go to a commercial break. But one time I was sick. I was like, I actually shared that story with somebody. Because I went on a date with a guy who listened to the show prior to us going on a date.
Right.
He listened to that show when I said, Sam, I go to the bathroom, and I just like left. I was like, oh, okay, well, never again.
Never again.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually dangerous not to go to the bathroom every day, you know, because it hardens in there.
Ew.
Yeah. That's what, you know, that's what I heard. And sometimes, you know, like on my trip, I like skipped a day because of the flights and everything. So, you know, didn't really go to the bathroom. And then I did afterwards. So it's like 2 days later and you really get constipated, you know?
We are officially a geriatric show talking about constipation because that's what all the listeners want to hear about.
Yeah.
They'd
well,
rather.
We talk about everything.
We do.
Hell, you
no,
know?
You're right. Keep it regular. Keep it
yeah,
going.
Yeah, you got to, you know.
Keep yourself juiced up,
I wouldn't
lubed
pride
up.
Myself on not going to the bathroom. Although I hate that act, let me tell you, man.
I know you do.
You know, 50 years, I still haven't gotten used to it.
Taking a big crunch.
Yeah, I don't like the idea, you know. I can never go in a public bathroom and do it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like doing. I mean, who? Well, it feels good to get it out, though.
Yeah, it does. But you're right. Nobody really is crazy about.
Nobody's
going
like,
public
hey,
bathrooms.
Take a picture of me.
Yeah.
Although my brother's girlfriend snuck in the bathroom and my brother was on the toilet.
And really?
She took a picture.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, of him just sitting there all in his glory.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a relationship where you guys keep the door open in the bathroom?
I mean. I've been with the person I was with 5 years, who I revisited over this vacation. It's funny because we're in this, we rented a really cute like loft in Austin, and it was so cute and it was really big, but it was open space.
Mm-hmm.
And all my friends came into town and stayed with us, and so we it was just packed with girls. And then there's Dan, mm-hmm. you know, just the only man, and he's just really good with women. He loves women, but the bathroom was cutely decorated, but it was kind of like the door wasn't even a door. It was like a shower curtain.
Mm.
And then the shower curtain was a shower curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And the toilet's like next to the shower. And everybody was drinking coffee. And then some people got kind of sick or a little bit, you know, bunged up or whatever. And I mean, at one point, Dan's in the shower, and then my good friend Claire, I'll just say it, she's like, Dan, she's like, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Yeah, can you leave the room?
No, he's in the shower.
Oh, he was in the shower.
Yeah, and he was like, eh, come on in. He goes, I'm not going to stress out.
Oh, wow.
So she totally dropped the light, was hot while he was in the shower.
Wow.
But, you know, he's really sweet about it because he knows she didn't want to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but how could she do it, for crying out loud?
She had to, or it was going to be an issue. Right. It was going to be all over the place.
I would throw him out of the shower and go do it, you know?
Throw him out. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't want to ever kind of... I think when you're with somebody, and especially with them for a long time, I think it's easy to get too casual with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to kind of maintain... I mean, I think you should feel comfortable enough to where you guys don't look at each other gross, like if you accidentally slip a fart or something. Like, you don't want it to be where, like, you're this awful human in their eyes if that happens. But do you want to sit around and, you know, play the banjo in that area and just, like, have a hoedown? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, many
couples, they keep the door open, you know? I mean, I can't imagine that.
I mean, if you had to pee...
Still.
I'm not really big on it, but I wouldn't bother... Well, I don't do it, I'm saying, but definitely not the other one. Because... You want to have a little bit of mystery in that area with your partner because you.
It's not about me. I mean, why would I want mystery in that? What I want is just not to smell.
Well,
or
that
to hear
yeah,
anything,
but I'm saying
know?
It's not just mystery. It's everything you said exactly. But if you start crossing those boundaries, I think it'll affect people. I think it can affect sex drives
and things like that. I think it can.
You know, what if your sex life sucks and it's all because you guys took big crunches in front of each other?
There you go.
And you're like, oh, we could have avoided this if we never went there.
Right. And besides, people look weird when they sit on the toilet. You know, I don't want to see anybody sitting on the toilet.
Yeah. I mean, neither do I. Especially, I think a man too, because they. I mean, when I was living with this guy a long time ago when I was 19, I remember, this is so stupid, but you know, people are dumb. I was a kid and I just thought it was funny because he's a really big, muscular guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought it'd be funny to see him on the toilet because it's kind of it's like a helpless little position.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of snuck a peek one time just because he had to like hold his area and, you know, because that's what guys do, right? You hold your stuff because you don't want it to... If you're going to the bathroom, you don't want it to pop out?
No, I don't do that.
Your junk, don't you make sure it's kind of poked down?
Well, yeah, but I don't hold it.
Or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, I took a little peek, and I was like... And he had the face, you know, when you're making a...
Oh, God.
face, and he was like, get out of here.
What a fucking visual.
He's like, get out of here, and I laughed so hard, because it was just...
Yeah.
It wasn't like I don't like that. It doesn't excite me, but it was something about seeing him in a very vulnerable position because he's such a big dude.
And it is a vulnerable position.
And he's a big dude, and so it was funny. I mean, but believe me, I don't want to like, you know, I don't want to have that I don't want to bond over those things, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't really know if it works. Some people they do, but clearly you don't.
Do you know that some men actually pee when they're sitting down? Isn't that pretty weird?
Really? Like, they don't stand up to take a
pee? No, like Howard Stern, for example, he mentioned this on the show sometimes, that he sits down to pee.
Why?
I don't know.
I thought that was one
That's
of the
way he was raised, I suppose.
I thought that was one of the perks of having a... Right?
You're on talk radio. You can say these words.
No, but I thought the sound effects were funny. Are you weirdo?
It's not
funny. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, that was the pee sound. Anyway, I had to break it down for you, so it's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
Thanks, Slowpoke.
It's not, it's not funny.
Standing up and taking a whiz, that was part of the cool thing, is that you can stand up and it doesn't run down your leg and stuff.
Yeah.
If women could stand up, we would.
But people would do anything, I guess. You know, people have tried to create, like, products for women that so they can pee standing up, and nothing ever caught on, you know? I think in Asia, they do use those.
I'm sorry. The age is weird, though. What do they do?
Like, you know, a little, like, funnel or something that you'd put there, and then you can pee standing up. A woman.
Yeah, I'd have to get more info on that, but...
Send me some more info in the mail.
Yeah, I'm just... But it's not looking like it's a fit. It doesn't look like it'd be something comfortable. I mean, yeah, you can stand peeing up, and you just, you know, jam a urethra up there. That's fun.
No. You don't jam anything there.
You just pee into a
funnel. It's just kind of a funnel. I think it would, like... kind of cup the area, you know? I know that people have tried to invent these things, but it never caught on, you know?
You know, I just...
But do you know that in Asia, they don't, like, I don't know, I can't say everywhere, but in many many cases, they don't have toilets, so they have to actually crouch down.
And there's just a hole. Yeah, that's actually pretty common throughout the world, right?
No, only in Asia that I know of.
No, it's called potty squatties.
Yeah, but I haven't seen those anywhere else.
They're potty squatties. They're a lot in the Middle East, and I wouldn't think Asia, though, because it's very high-tech, but I don't know why they would still do that. I guess it depends on what countries.
Because that's the culture, you know? I mean, that's what they do.
Yeah, potty squatties.
Yeah.
Holes in the ground.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do it, but I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff we do that they're like, I can't believe you do that. You use toilet paper? It's gross.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what they look at and look at our stuff and go, I can't believe you guys bleach your teeth, you idiots. Like, yeah. You know, it's just so funny the things that cultures do.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever, like, go in nature?
What do you mean?
Number one, number two.
Oh, yeah.
You have?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, especially as a kid, because you don't care.
Yeah.
You know, you're a kid. You don't even, you're just like, I got to go.
Yeah.
But I remember doing road trips when we were little because my dad and all my mom's husbands, whatever, they're in the military, so we moved a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And my little brother, she would just hold him and he would just, you know, pop it out and just go number one.
Right.
And girls, it's just like this. It's like just this, you know, weird tornado of pee. It doesn't stay in one direction.
Right.
It jumps around. It's unpredictable. You never know where it's going to go. It might slide down your leg.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, she'd pull us on the side of the road and kind of open up the car door and hold us in this really awkward position, and then you'd pee. It was really interesting growing up, you know, having mm-hmm. brothers and you having different parts. And then I think I ran out of panties on the road trip, and so she put me in my brother's, like, Superman underwear. And I know instinctually I was sitting in those nasty underwear. They had thick waistband, a thick leg band, and they had a weird pocket in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember feeling so violated that I'm wearing He-Man underwear.
Yeah.
I was so pissed. I remember feeling gross.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel so gross. I feel so dirty with these He-Man underwear. I did. I was like, oh, these He-Man underwear. I just felt like I just was like so offended. Yeah. I love dresses and stuff as a kid, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rock some He-Man underwear. I hated it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
You always wear dresses and skirts, huh? You don't wear pants ever?
No, not really as much.
Uh-huh.
I wear workout pants, and
right.
I have some really nice jeans. They're a little bit tight right now, so I'm going to wait till I drop a couple LBs. But no, generally, I just like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a phase. It's just ultra feminine stuff I like.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I just like dresses.
So it hasn't always been that way?
I'm going to say, yeah, it's pretty much always been that way.
Mm.
I mean, I don't think it's my identity, but it's kind of just things you like.
Mm-hmm.
And
your style, that's like,
yeah,
your
I just
style.
I think it's one of the fun things about being a girl is that we get to do girly stuff, and you could do it, especially in LA, unapologetically.
Mm-hmm.
You can wear ultra feminine things and feel girly, and I think it's a fun thing about being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, you don't have to wear it every day. I mean, I do, but that's kind of the wardrobe I've built up. So even when I'm like casual, I'll throw on a skirt. Like, I really, this is all clean, by the way. But I
clean
did,
clothes.
I
oh,
did,
so you didn't sleep in those?
Nope, these are fresh, okay. fresh.
Okay.
And but no, I threw this on because I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think it's fun. I mean, I know some women that they have a different style and it works for them, and they have more of a chic or more of like a
right.
You know, an asexual or. You know, not asexual, but a little bit more of a straight edge to their clothing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks good for them. I think some women are gorgeous. I know a few of them. And they downplay their dressing and their looks. And I just can't wait to get my hands on them.
Yeah.
I have a couple friends I'm going to do that. I'm going to redo their makeup. And especially some female comics I know that are just beautiful, but they're kind of always hanging out with dudes and they're in the dude world.
Mm.
And I'm like, do you know you're hot? Let me help you out with that. I know you're like trying to buddy up with all these idiots, but let me just help you out. Let me just put you on the right side of the fence here for a second. Let me show you what those legs can do and that hair.
Yeah.
And those lips. Let me rock it. It's fun though. I love dressing women up and dressing them over because I think it's a way to celebrate women and make them feel good about themselves. It's not, you know, the end all of who a woman is. It's just a part of who she is. I don't think
right.
that external is the answer to everything. Let me just say that because we do live in LA.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a fun thing, I think, getting to dress girly and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess. Plus, you have to be slimmer to wear tighter like Thai jeans.
Oh, okay.
And stuff,
so
right?
I guess I'm a fat ass.
Yeah, actually, that's what I'm saying. No.
Thanks.
No, I'm trying to figure out why.
Oh, why I'm not wearing them?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't think that it's a slimmer issue. Mm, I mean, there's a lot of girls that have big butts and that wear jeans. Mm. I happen to have a pair.
But it doesn't look very good.
I don't think it's I look bad in jeans, if that's what you're asking.
So you should come in jeans one morning and I'll be the judge.
Okay. No, see, you're not going to be the judge of anything.
Really?
No, you don't really have that power in my life. I'm going to wear what I want to wear, and you're going to...
I don't have that power in your life?
Not really.
I can think and say whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to take it or listen or...
No, but I'm not going to just prance around in jeans so I get it. You can tell me if I can wear jeans
I
or
see.
Not.
I see. Okay.
You're not going to tell me, oh, you know what? You should stick to dresses.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You actually don't look good in jeans.
So you don't give a shit about my opinion.
It's not that. It's just kind of a funny way to put yourself in the position to tell somebody what they can wear or not. I think it's funny. But no, there's really no weird reason why I don't wear jeans. I just prefer dresses.
Mm.
I mean, really.
Cool.
I think that they're cute.
Yeah.
Well, are you more of a are you more of a jean guy or more of a...
No, I don't really have preference. I think you dress very nicely.
Thank you so much,
Yeah,
Sam.
You do, you know.
Thank you.
And it's I think it's important to find clothes that suit your body style, you know, for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
I
go with that.
And I just like, I like fun stuff.
Mm.
You know, jeans can be cute and stuff, but they're kind of the everyday common thing and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I have a couple pair of nice jeans and stuff, but that are really like designer and cute, but
right.
I think that they're more of a neutral thing, and then you dress around your jeans or whatever.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a huge fashionista by any means, but I like fun, almost costumey type feelings to stuff. I like to create a feel.
Yeah. No, I realized at a certain point in my life that when you get dressed, it should be fun. It should be something that you feel good in, you know, not just to throw on some clothes.
Yeah, you're kind of creating a look.
And unfortunately, with many men, many straight men, they just throw on clothes. They don't give a shit what they look like, you know.
Yeah.
And that's pretty lousy, I think.
But I think it's fun as a woman if you're with a guy like that and if he's willing that you can dress him up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, when I was with Dan, I really was able to kind of, we went out and got him some cool shirts and some stuff because he looks like a damn trucker.
Yeah.
I'm like,
see, that's it. You have to have a woman in your life.
Yeah, we got him. He's really built, so I got him some stuff that's fitted and tailored that kind of shows off, you know, his physique and looks a little sharp and he doesn't look like a damn plumber.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's anything wrong with looking like a plumber, but sometimes you want to, you know.
Yeah.
If you got it, you know.
If you got to show it.
Yeah, you know, how about just appreciate it, celebrate it a bit.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I think so.
Yeah.
So, what about you? Does Dina dress you?
Sometimes she does, yeah.
Do you like that?
Of course, I have to decide whether I'm going to wear it or not.
Uh-huh.
But I'll let her go out and shop and find some things, and then I'll try them on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But sometimes I'll get in the mood where, you know, where we went to our money exchange and stuff, and you can see I have a new shirt from there.
Oh, is that new?
Yeah. And I like their style, you know. It's like it fits nicely there.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. But, like, going to Macy's and picking up, like jeans or something, that's not my cup of tea.
Oh, okay. So you let Dina do it.
Yeah.
Does it make you feel loved that she takes an interest
in...
I think it's
really
a way to nurture a man. Because I think, like, you know, men and women are different. And some men are more into fashion than others. I mean, especially in L.A. But outside of Los Angeles, it's like... I've noticed that when I do those things for a guy and help him in that area, and then I get excited by the way he looks and everything, he kind of perks up and feels good. And I think it's a way to nurture a man because they're not getting that from anyone else.
Right.
And they feel taken care of.
Yeah, and I think for women, it's important that their man look good, you know, because sometimes they feel it's a reflection on them, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do. You want to say, hey, can we shave the back a bit? My ex-boyfriend is so hairy.
Really?
And you know what? I got kind of used to it.
And you don't like that, huh?
You know, I dated him when I was 19, so I noticed he was hairy, like just a man of hair.
I would expect you to ask him to shave down.
Oh, you know? I have.
Really?
I'm like, hey.
Does he do it?
What? No.
No.
Well,
good.
I mean, his...
Good for him.
I mean, like, his...
No, no, his whole body, like the back and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I said, come on. You know, because he works in... What he does, he's in sales, and he works with all these amazing companies, and some of them are, like, laser hair removals. He works in tons with all these different businesses, and I'm like, freaking get the laser hair removal.
Yeah.
At least your back. I mean, then let's work on the chest. Let's just trim it down.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to look like a fetus.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're not talking about looking like a fetus. We want you to look like a human, though, not an ape. He's like, I'm not going to, you want to date a toddler, Kara? Go date a toddler. That's what I'm saying. And I mean, I got to tell you, I respect his gusto. Mm-hmm. I respect the fact that he's like, I'm a man. This is the way men look. You know, he's a little bit like old school like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cute, but it's still, he's still a hairy beast.
Yeah.
And when we went to the water park, and when he gets wet, it all looks like a Jerry curl. And like his, I'm just like, I'm like, your hair, your chest hair looks like a Jerry curl. Your legs, it all looks like these like defined waves of.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know, men are hairy, and I'm not gonna spend my time trying to overly change someone.
Yeah.
Keyword overly. But there's a point where you have to just respect people, and they're like, look, I like being a woolly mammoth, so yeah. I'm gonna do it. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want somebody overly changing me. They can put a few suggestions in, sneakily.
Yeah.
Sneakily, is that a word?
Sneakily. Yeah. Well, my chest is pretty hairy. My legs are, but then my arms, my back, almost nothing. I mean, look at my arms. It's like really fine hair.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And my back and shoulders, nothing.
That's good. Keep it that way.
Yeah.
But no, some women apparently like hairy men, and mm-hmm. they've been fueling these wildebeests out there that real women like real hair on men. And
yeah.
Now I've
or
been
on the ass. That's kind of ugly, too. Huh? Yeah, I don't have any hair on my ass either. So that's pretty cool.
You know.
Yeah.
And I just, here's my thing, is that women go through a lot of work to look beautiful for themselves and for men.
Right.
And it's just expected that they do that.
Yeah.
It's just expected that women take care of all their bits and parts,
mm-hmm.
and they're constantly working on themselves to look prettier mm-hmm. and better so they'll like them more.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And men are just kind of bastards about it.
Yeah.
They're just kind of like, eh, take me where I am. I'm like, really? But you're not going to take me just the way I am.
That's true, huh?
You know, like, why don't you just, you know, man up and get it waxed?
Yeah.
Get that chest waxed.
Wow.
And I mean, for him, it feels like it's violating his masculinity, so that's fine. But
it is.
Still
it kind of feels gay.
And
to
you
do
know
that,
what?
You
that's
know?
He thinks it's very gay, so I'm like, okay, that's fine. If you feel like it's gay, you know, I'm not going to win this argument.
Yeah.
Will I try to wax you in your sleep? Yes.
I see.
But what I'm saying is that I think that men sometimes, you know, they feel so like there should be no expectations on them physically. They can be. Especially more coming from the South, too, like coming back from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, these little, you know, they're just little chunkers, man. They're just whatever, you know, little rap, little happy, chunky little bastards, basically. That's what I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, we talked enough about bodily functions and things like that. So we should call our author for the day. We're going to call Irad Eyal, which sounds like an Israeli name to me. So maybe we'll find out from him. The book is called 6 Degrees of Separation. Now, you've heard of 6 Degrees of Separation, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And for those who don't understand that, I think that theory is about that you're as far away from anyone else in the world by as much or by as few as 6 people. You know, so like if you know someone who knows someone who knows someone.
Yeah, people know 6 degrees
right.
of separation. Yeah.
So in other words, you can be related to Barack Obama, for example, through 6 degrees of separation.
I think what they're saying is you can know somebody through not necessarily be related.
Yeah.
But you're saying it could be that too.
Yeah.
And this 6 degrees of separation is not saying that everybody's connected through 6 people. It's saying the celebrity world, right?
Yeah. And not necessarily through 6 people, but it's just he did a play on the words there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's interesting because I do feel like this world of a lot of actors and socialites and celebutantes,
mm-hmm.
it tends to be incestuous.
Yeah, and they hang out in the same circles, you know. So
Yeah.
So we're going to find out. I think there's an extension I need to dial, which I usually don't like. But
good
let's
morning,
see.
All USA.
Yes, extension 240, please. This is LA Talk Radio calling for Irad Eyal.
One moment, please.
Thank you. 6 degrees of separation. I like that. That's a pretty nice, colorful book.
Why are we calling extension?
Well, because he's probably busy. Yes, Irad Eyal, good morning to you. This is Sam and Kara from LA Talk Radio.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. We're good. And we're talking about your book, Six Degrees of Separation. And I happen to like this because I'm hopelessly fascinated with celebrities, and you seem to be too.
Yeah, well, I had to get a little obsessed to write the book.
Yeah. So now, how did the book come about? I mean, one day did you wake up and said, I need to write a book like this?
Yeah, I mean, it sort of goes back to when I was a camp counselor in the Florida Keys. And, you know, we were sort of trapped on an island and dealing with all these kids. And there were a lot of hookups between the counselors.
Uh-huh.
And somebody made a big poster of all the connections and put it up in the staff lounge. And from that point on, I thought, God, wouldn't it be great to sort of map out everybody? And, I thought I'd start with the celebrities.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Now, how did you find, I mean, obviously some of this stuff is in the public domain. We know what celebrities hook up with whom. But you must have done some research on this.
Yeah, tons of research. I mean, really everything is reported on these days. If you just think of all the paparazzi that are out there and, all the tabloids and TMZ and Perez Hilton, you know, pretty much everything gets reported on. If you're a celebrity and you're going out on a date and you're not, you know, wearing a disguise and dining in some obscure restaurant, you're going to be photographed.
Right.
So it was all through research online and in magazines and tabloids and newspapers.
Wow. And how long did it take to put it together?
Took about a year of really long nights.
Yeah, but I mean, I like it because it's illustrated, it's easy to understand, and there's a lot of things I wasn't aware of as far as connections between people. What are some of the some of the celebrities that have had like a lot of connections with other people?
You know,
meaning
most
they've
notorious,
been,
I guess.
Yeah, like been in a lot of relationships.
Yeah, I mean, the ones you'd sort of expect or know about, like Jack Nicholson or Charlie Sheen, those are sort of the expected ones. I was kind of surprised to learn that Jennifer Love Hewitt has gotten with lots and lots of guys. You know, she dated three different guys on The Ghost Whisperer alone.
Really?
Co-stars.
Seriously?
Yeah, she dated, Ross McCall, who was on there. She dated Jamie Kennedy for a while. And most recently, this guy, John Asher.
Wow.
Who also did a guest spot on the show. But I guess, you know, you date the people you work with.
Yeah.
So that's not too surprising.
Yeah.
But you know, she's been in the business for a really long time. She's
that
not married.
Sense, yeah.
You know, she went out with Fred Savage in 1995.
Damn, that's old school right there. That's straight up old school. Fred, yeah, you're right. This is her crew. Because I was telling Sam, I was like, it seems like the world of acting and, you know, socialite, celebritants, whatever, that it's very incestuous.
It definitely is incestuous. You could pretty much connect anybody, and that's what the book is all about. I mean, the only people that sort of aren't connected are kind of the young Disney stars who, you know, give them a few more years.
Give them some time to marinate.
Yeah.
Because Miley Cyrus is untamed. Watch out.
Yeah.
She's untamed.
Yep. When I started this off, I really wanted to try to connect Zac Efron to Nora Ephron.
Uh-huh.
And I know I'll do it eventually. I haven't done it yet.
They're not related, though, right?
No, they're not related.
I see. Wow.
Not related.
Yeah. Now, there was one thing in the book that I read about Brad Pitt, and that was pretty interesting that you reported that at least three of his former partners said he wasn't that great in bed.
So, I know. Why, yeah. That's shocking, right?
It
you
is.
You have to ask yourself, is that real, or is that just sort of sour grapes they got dumped by the hottest guy in the world?
That's true.
You know, is that really true? But that's what they said.
I mean, to me, it's like, come on, look, he's with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
And she's got big lips.
Yeah.
And she's seen as a sex icon. I'm sure she's been around a bit to know what good sex and bad sex is. I just don't see her, and this is maybe just the image she puts out, but I really don't see her, you know, settling for a bad sex partner. Do you?
No, neither do I, and she definitely seems like somebody who, is focused on sex, too.
Yeah.
At least from what we heard about her and Billy Bob Thornton, you know?
Right.
But still, you know, Juliette Lewis said, quote, he was no big deal, if you know what I mean. Robin Givens told Howard Stern that sex with him wasn't that great. So once you hear it a bunch of times, you know, you start seeing these patterns. You start thinking maybe there's some truth in there.
Right. And, you know, I mean, you have to also wonder what they mean by bad sex. I just mean that people maybe think he's too self-involved, you know, and
that's actually a good observation. I think sometimes people are like, hey, I'm a celebrity and I'm a movie star.
Yeah,
in the
just
bedroom.
Service me.
Yeah,
know?
Like
yeah.
I'm just gonna sit back a little to the left. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Drive through.
Now, what about Johnny Depp? Has he had a lot of connections there?
Johnny Depp, you know, there's 1,000 celebrities in the book, so I need to look them up really fast.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
But the great, you know, the great story that everyone's probably heard about Johnny Depp that I love is the tattoo that he got for Winona Ryder.
Oh.
He got a tattoo that said Winona Forever. And then after they split, he had it changed to Wino Forever.
Really?
And where is that tattoo?
You'll have to find that on your own.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. Here's my question, too, is that, you know, I look at this and I'm like, there's a lot of cool people out there. Why not go after, like, a date with a businessman or a sports dude or somebody that's not necessarily in your field as much? I mean, some of them do sports, but you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of cool dudes. It seems like, especially the younger Hollywood, like The Hills, The OC, and all that bullshit, which I'm sure it's all fake. But
a lot of them do end up settling down with non-actors. You know, they'll marry the rich guy, the sort of investment banker type, or a doctor. And I think those relationships do seem more stable.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah. So what was one of your favorite connections that you saw here that's kind of unexpected?
Well, you know, the weird chains that you find connecting people, those were the big surprises. Like, you can get from Geraldo Rivera to Uma Thurman through just 3 different relationships. Geraldo in 1980 had a weird sexual encounter with Margaret Trudeau, who was the Prime Minister of Canada's wife. Mm-hmm. They got it on in a boat in Central Park in the pond.
Really?
How do you know that? Come on now.
That's from Geraldo's book. I've got the quote here. He says, "I rode us to a secluded spot. Right there, the estranged First Lady of Canada lent new meaning to the term, quote, head of state." That's from Geraldo, and he's a journalist.
Was,
so you know it's true.
Well, was she still married to the...
No, she wasn't married at the time.
Oh, I would kick his ass. If that came out, I would be on an ass-kicking rampage. I'd be like, head of state, how about head of your... Foot up your ass, whatever, to make that funny, but that's what I would say.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she was quite a player, too. She got together with Mick Jagger in 1977 while she was still married.
Uh-oh.
And then that's how we get to Uma Thurman, because Jagger and Thurman were photographed making out in the Viper Room in L.A. in 1995.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm also looking at John F. Kennedy Jr., and he obviously had some conquests himself. I see Madonna, I see Janice Dickinson, I see Sarah Jessica Parker, and then there's a few other ones that go to other pages. So he was pretty active in that arena, huh?
He was, and, you know, that's how he's tied into the whole network. So ultimately you could get from Paris Hilton to JFK Jr.
Wow. How many degrees there, do you remember?
I don't know, but it's, you know, it's probably like 6 or 7.
Yeah, wow.
You'll have to get the book to find out.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, the book just goes on and on, you know, different pages. All the celebrities you'd expect to be there are there. And you know, the nature of their relationships and stuff. So a lot of broken hearts there.
How long did it take you to do this book?
It took about a year of just late nights.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the book also, Sex Degrees of Separation, also has... You know, like you said, it highlights the biggest things. So you'll find, you know, the worst breakups in there. You'll find people that, you know, got dumped while they were pregnant, and just like all kinds of, all the gossip is in there, all the stuff that you've forgotten or never knew about.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Now, this is not self-published, right? I mean, you found a publisher and everything for
this book?
No, it's
published by Chronicle Books, so you're going to find it. It's in Barnes & Noble, it's in Urban Outfitters, and on Amazon.
Wonderful. And was it hard to find a publisher for the book?
Well, weirdly enough, no.
I didn't think it would be.
You know, it's a very commercial topic. People are into it. Chronicle stepped right up.
Right.
It's kind of like a great coffee table book, too.
It is like a gift kind of book, you know? And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't expect you to read it cover to cover. You sort of can like flip through it and follow these weird trails around and...
Yeah.
Put it back and pick it up again.
So interesting.
Yeah.
And so how's your little 6 degrees of sexeration?
Well, funny you should mention that. On my website, sexdegrees.net,
mm-hmm.
you can punch in some information about yourself, sort of, you know, your age, your sex, and how many relationships you've had.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll tell you who your sex degrees twin is, the celebrity who's the most like you.
Oh, my gosh. That's
funny. That's pretty cool. And that's sexdegrees.net.
Correct.
And the book, of course, is Six Degrees of Separation, and it's Iradiyal. And thank you so much. I mean, this is like a great book. I'm definitely going to keep on reading this. And because, like I said, I'm fascinated with celebrities and sex. So if you like those two things, I think it's pretty
Are you
pretty
kidding
cool.
me? Janice Dickinson and Liam Neeson. Come on now.
Why?
Because she's nuts. I used to work at a Starbucks. She came in.
Yeah.
She literally is. I mean, there's just something off.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but there is really something off.
That's okay. They say usually the crazy ones are good in bed, so maybe Liam knows something we don't, you know?
Yeah, but he's like super hot for an old dude.
Yeah. Hey, Rod, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Rod.
Congratulations on the book, and everybody go to 6degrees.net. The book is 6 Degrees of Separation. Again, all the best to you, and good luck with the book.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Cool guy.
Yeah,
cool
that's
guy.
Interesting.
Yeah. I guess you have to be cool to write a book like this, you know?
Yeah, there's another book we can lose some brain cells on, and it'll be fun. So instead of going for a magazine, this is like an upgraded version of a magazine.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can kind of get more trashy info that's none of your damn business.
Yeah.
And have fun and talk trash about it.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool. I mean, there's some connections there that I never knew about, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's quite interesting. I'm staring at this book right now as we speak. So, Sam, what do you think? You know, your sex degrees of separation. Are you batting a lot of numbers or what?
No, not really. You know, not nearly as much as I would like to.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so different for men, huh? Women trying to keep it low, men want to keep it high.
Exactly. And that's just nature.
It
you
is,
know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're supposed to procreate and and plant our seed in as many places as possible.
Well, we're whatever.
Anyway, yeah.
So. That's up for debate.
Did you ever see the movie Quest for Fire?
No.
It was...
it's all about supporting the point you just made?
No. Well, no. It's about, like, the caveman and stuff, you know, way back when there was no culture or anything.
Sure.
And the scene that I remember is this the female, you know, the woman is, like, by the river, you know, crouching over, bending over and stuff. And then the male comes right behind her and helps himself. You know, to her.
Yeah.
So.
Are you trying to get me to throw up on the air? Or are you just trying to?
So what I'm saying is that that's the way we're programmed. You know.
I think on a biological level, I would not disagree. I just think that we're not just animals. So I think there's another component.
Yeah, well,
but
that's why
we
don't do it. But.
Yeah. No, I think that's part of man's nature. One thing I noticed with my ex-boyfriend is that we make a joke that he's always trying to capture me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could be on. I could anytime I start getting if I'm cooking or if I'm. Doing some kind of task or something that I'm in the zone and tension's not on him.
Uh-huh.
He comes in and tries to like play and wrestle and stuff. I'm like, I'm trying to do this and he just won't leave me alone. And I always say like, he's always trying to capture me. And it's just so cute, but it's funny because it's like, I can't get anything done.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I just think that that's how guys are. They just, and I think that, because he's like a real dude's dude. Mm-hmm. I think guys like it when, like, he tries to chase me with bugs and things like that. Like, we're in freaking fifth grade.
Yeah.
So we went out in Austin. He knows I hate this shit. He knows. I mean, I hate bugs. I hate bugs. I don't want to hang out with one. I don't want to get to know one.
Especially spiders, right?
Women are afraid
of spiders.
I don't want them. So there were some crickets, and he acted like he grabbed one. But he used to play this game with me where he'd act like he had a lizard or something and chase me. And I knew there wasn't a bug in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I was but it still psychologically freaked me out, so I kind of ran a bit.
Right.
Well, I thought that was what was going on this time. We all got in the car, and he's in the back seat, and he goes, da-dun, and he puts this thing on my shoulder. I look down. There's a big-ass cricket on my shoulder. I'm like,
really?
And I'm just running. I run out of the car, and my friend grabs it and throws it out. And I thought, because I was relaxing, thinking he was playing the game where there's really nothing there, and I don't need to. But that freaking turd put a big friggin' cricket on me, and he just laughing. It makes me really, really mad.
Yeah.
But I think that some guys like seeing girls squeal and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like goes back to that.
It goes back to
like being in
elementary school.
Elementary. They like want to pull their hair and put a frog in their, whatever it is. I think I'm like, Dan, I think you really like seeing my reaction. Like I'm a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
How about we do this? Just let me know when you need to see that. I'm a great actress. And I'll just give you that reaction.
Yeah.
But can we just take the whole real life bug part out of this or whatever, or, you know, but it's just funny. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I'm stressed out thinking about it right now. I don't know why guys aren't like, they like to hold bugs and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want a bug.
I'm not into it at all.
I don't want a damn cricket on me. I was a big cricket.
Yeah.
Crickling its legs on me.
Yeah. Some people are fascinated with bugs, you know?
Yeah, well, keep it
yesterday,
yourself.
I decided, you know, I made a decision. I'm going to start watching some more TV so I know what's out there.
Yeah, please
and
do.
I know there's some good shows, you know?
Yeah, there are.
So I stop on Discovery Channel, and there's Mythbusters. Have you ever seen that?
I've skimmed past it. I've never really watched it.
It's like such a cool show.
Oh, I mean, they
have those geeks there.
Yeah.
And they test theories that they have.
Yeah.
So they dedicated a whole show to duct tape, right?
Oh, really?
The things that they did, I mean, they lifted a car with a crane with only duct tape, you know, which was just amazing to me.
Really?
Then they built like a drawbridge out of duct tape. They drove a car, bless you, they drove a car through through like a 3-inch thick duct tape thing that they did. And it's just, I mean,
man, you gotta have duct tape now.
Yeah, they created like tiles, like about 2-inch thick tiles, and then they used them like to make a cannon. Now you can imagine a cannon, there's a big explosion inside, and nothing happened to the duct tape. I mean, it's just an amazing thing what you can do with
it. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they crashed the car, and then they put it together with duct tape. It looked like shit, but it was right. I mean, they went over bumps
funny.
And everything, and it worked
That's
just fine.
That's funny.
So
oh
there's
gosh.
A new show that I like.
Yeah.
And the reason I thought about it is because they had a little segment with bugs and worms and shit like that, you know, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's pretty cool. So I think the Discovery Channel is pretty cool, huh?
That's really freaking funny, man.
There's a lot of interesting things there. I mean,
yeah, and it's funny. I think my aunt gave me like a thing with jumper cables, a flashlight, you know, those kind of things and stuff that happens if, oh, shit happens.
Right.
And there was duct tape in it.
Yeah.
And she's from Texas. She knows what's up.
Yeah.
That's funny, man. Let's get you some duct tape.
It is, huh?
Get some duct tape.
I mean, a whole friggin' car.
Whole friggin' car with duct tape. Have you ever been in a jalopo? Have you ever been in like a real hoopty car?
No.
Oh, man. I knew this girl when we were in high school. She actually lived with us for a little bit because she got kicked out or whatever, but... She was just like hanging on by a rope, and I asked my aunt if she could live with us for a little bit, so she did.
Mm-hmm.
And then my aunt was pissed, and she ended up staying 9 months. It was a sore spot.
Yeah.
She's a sweet girl, but just, you know, didn't have it together. But one thing was cool is that this girl had a car, and I didn't have a car. Now, the car, though, was like literally scotch tape and rubber bands together.
Really?
And her driver door would not shut, so we had a really big bungee cord type rope.
Yeah.
And I would be in the passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we drove around a corner, mm-hmm. I had to pull this string or whatever you want to call it, this rope, and I had to lean in the opposite direction. And we went around the corner, and the door's flinging open. We're like, hey, we're just trying to pull it in. But inertia's a bitch, man.
Yeah.
That inertia, or whatever you want to call it, you know, force be with you, like trying to scrape this door off of us. And we're like leaning back. We're like, get the car. And it's just flap, 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 flap. And we should have been pulled over and arrested. And eventually she did get arrested and went to jail for a bit. She's doing good now. She's got 2 kids. She's fine. But my point is that was just one of the funniest memories that we had because we were laughing the whole time. We're like, this damn door is going to kill us. Have you never been in a car like that where they didn't have a floorboard or something like that?
No, I never have.
Really?
Yeah.
I really guess it's just people from the South. You never had like a real hoopty ride?
No, I mean, no. No, I never had a car like that.
Oh, man.
They were popular in the 70s, but...
No, I don't mean... I'm just talking about like a rundown piece of POS
okay.
that you just...
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to just...
No, I never had
get
one
from
of
point
those.
A to point B. Yeah, I had one out here in L.A. I bought for $150. I bought it in Texas for $150. Drove it out
and
to...
And you drove it down here?
Drove it to L.A. Piece? Yeah, it lasted me quite a few years.
Really?
But wow. It would start to overheat, so I'd...
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I'd... be driving and I'd have to put the heater on because it takes away some of the heat from overheating.
Yeah.
And then I'd have to pull over and put water all over it. I don't even know if I was putting it in the right place. I'm just dumping water on this thing. Like, come on, fanning it. I got to get home. You know. But it's just funny. You know, life is funny when you have to go through those things.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up for today. We're doing a shorter version of the show today. And tomorrow we should have a pretty cool guest in the studio. She wrote a book on the Kings of Hollywood, Steven Spielberg and the DreamWorks team.
Oh, cool.
And so she wanted to come in the studio, and she sounds like a lot of fun. So we should have a good, fun show tomorrow. It's Friday, huh, tomorrow. So
yeah, it is.
Yeah. So and if you missed any part of the show, we're gonna replay it right after this. So thank you for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.